And now, Free Fire Radio. Radio. About to commence.
Good morning, North State. Welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Go to our website at KCNR1460.com, and we are streaming on that. And we actually, you can actually see the inside of the studio, but not on 1460.com. Is that correct, Bad Bob? Where are we at?
If you go to livestream.com/Free Fire Radio, we will. The audio is actually quite good, and about all you're going to see is the switching board and possibly the back of my head because we're not quite ready for prime time yet.
Okay, so it's not on our website yet, but it's working its way there.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot, Bob. I am also joined, of course, by my soulmate, Linda Bott.
Good morning. 45 degrees out, raining and windy, and there is a warning, a wind warning in effect right now. High winds remain effective until 6 p.m. this evening. I guess they're up to 45, 55 miles an hour, and some places up to 60-mile gusts. Be very careful. I know we had a big branch that came down in our backyard. Thank God it didn't break the fence, but, I mean, it cracked down right over the lawn furniture. Thank God that's wrought iron.
Well, I took a look at it, and that limb was not like a solid limb, so we need to get somebody to come out there and check. And that's what you should do. Take a look at the trees and around your house, and you get more rain and more winds like this, you may want to be taking protection or taking precautions.
Exactly. According to the wind warning, the strongest winds will be occurring today from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m., so please be very careful. And I have two things to say. Scott Brown
last night. I'm in the city council meeting. We're going to talk about the city council meeting, of course, today, and the things that happened or didn't happen there, or the things that happened maybe shouldn't have happened. And I keep getting phone calls. And on the other end is my bride. Now, this was a woman that was really not a political person when I met her. But she's on the other end, and I'm hearing this screaming that he did it. He's doing it. Brown is winning.
I love the whole underdog story. And this seat, this is Kennedy territory. This is clearly a loud ringing bell throughout the world. I flipped from channel to channel, from Larry King to Rachel Maddow. Is that how you say her last name?
Well, at this point, she's probably Rachel Mad Dog because, from what I understand, she was almost foaming at the mouth.
Well, I had to watch as it came down. I wanted to watch from all aspects. So I started, of course, with O'Reilly, and who was the person that was the correspondent?
Who?
The guy who ran for president. That we wish they would have run for president, really, when we look back on him.
You mean Huckabee?
No.
Okay, you've got me.
We got to take a break. We'll be right back. This is Carla Linda Bott. Think fast, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 with Carl and Linda Bott. So Mitt Romney was on and...
You guess.
Yeah, well, I know. You did make me guess. You said you're just giggling at me. Okay. Mitt Romney. And so what was he saying?
Well, Mitt Romney was basically the correspondent there talking. As soon as I got home, clicked it on, and it was the end of O'Reilly, and that went into... Hannity. And so Romney was there on the floor talking about what was happening. And at that point, it was a 53-46.
Yeah.
And they said that it was closed and that they were waiting for just some final votes. And then I clipped through and I went through to Larry King. You know, when you go down 54, 55, 56, 57, it's Rachel Maddow, Joy Bear. Because I always like to see what everybody's thinking and saying.
And so what was Rachel saying?
Rachel was there at a pub in Boston.
Oh.
and live. And then what's the name of the guy who had the tingles up his legs?
Oh, Chris Matthews.
He was there. So
I wonder if those tingles are still going up Chris's legs every time he sees the president. It's a scary thought.
But anyway, so it was wonderful. When they went, I was watching Rachel when they said the AP has now deemed that Brown is the winner. Now, again, this is the AP. And then finally, flipping around, CNN now has, you know, announced that Brown is the winner. And then, of course, we watched the victory speech, which was phenomenal. And the faces of the loser's family behind her was really
Coakley.
Bad.
Well, you know, here's the thing is, and this cannot be emphasized enough. Scott Brown, a conservative Republican who drives a GMC truck with 200,000 miles on it, beats the Democratic machine, and it sends a message. He sends an extraordinary signal of change. As I said yesterday, the Democrats, the registered Democrats in Massachusetts are almost 1.5 million. Registered Republicans are about 395,000. Independents make up well over 2 million of the voters. Independents, people that have stepped away from the parties because they're tired of the partisanship. They're tired of what a lot of the parties are advocating. So what's this mean? If the Democrats right now are already throwing punches at each other. They're throwing, you know, they're trying to destroy and besmirch Coakley because they say she ran a terrible campaign and that she was the wrong person, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. What they should be looking at is the idea that the message that this Congress is pushing at us and forcing us to accept is the wrong message, wrong values, wrong way of doing business. That's what this says. Not since 1972 has there been a Republican sent to the Senate. Along with this, you've got to ask yourself, what impact is this going to have on Obama's administration? What impact is this going to have on what he's doing? Is there going to be a change in the way they do business now? All because of this one election. Nobody thought this guy had a chance 3 weeks ago. As somebody said to me, well, you know, you had all these people throwing money. You had Rush and you had Lauren. You had these people that were supporting him. I said, yeah. The only thing that she had going for her was the President of the United States and all the Democrats that came in to push her through.
Clinton
was over the weekend. What political capital did Barack Obama spend this past week when he was there running? Running in her campaign to push her through.
Let's go to the phones. What do you think? Vance, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing, Linda?
Great.
Sir?
How are you doing?
Wasn't last night beautiful? I mean, 5 points in Kennedy country, that's a landslide.
Yes, it was a landslide.
Okay, I don't mean to get off topic here, but you've been here for a little while. What do you think our worst problem is in Shasta County?
In Shasta County, well, right now the worst problem is probably the unemployment and the problems that people have in setting up businesses here.
Linda?
That's I would agree with Carl from what we hear on the street.
Okay, I disagree with you.
Okay.
I have to say methamphetamine.
Okay.
Because you get rid of meth, you'll have more jobs. I mean, companies will move in here. I mean, we've had companies look at us, we don't think so because of your meth problem.
Really?
Really.
Well, I think, okay, so you say you're in charge. How do we clean up the meth problem? I mean, we've had the sheriff on, we've had the chief of police on, and we think there's task forces out there really trying to clean up this. But, you know, how do we bump it up another step or two?
You got to get harder.
you got to make it harder. I mean, what about people who are doing, you know, making the stuff at home? I mean, their labs and selling it on the street. What do we have to do? These guys are in and out of jail. What do you think we should? Where should we put these people?
Siberia.
when you say Vance, that you've heard businesses say they don't want to come up here because of the problem with the with meth. I mean, is this? Do you have? I mean, is this a lot of businesses, or is this something that you're in a position to see that?
I've heard of a couple of businesses that looked at like Airport Road to set up factories, and they just went, no way.
Well, I've never heard. I know that meth is a problem, and the drugs are a problem.
How to take care of meth? That is a problem because it's such an addictive drug. The addicts, get them help. The old police tactic, where'd you get it from? You know, you're looking at this, but if you do this, we'll get you to a program. And, you know, just go up the chain that way. I don't know.
Well, it is a problem.
Well, and your voice calling and putting it out on the airwaves, it's a reminder for people, too. We'll do some further investigation. I think it'd be important to find out what's happening with the statistics in 2009, what's being done now, what they're discovering, and if, in fact, those people who have their ear to the ground as far as new businesses coming to town, if it was, in fact, not a rumor, but that businesses said we're not coming into town because of your meth problem, rather than is it hearsay or is it a fact that you actually know of a company that said we're not coming? And we've got to take a break.
Hey, Vance, but there's no such thing as being off subject on this show. We're here for you all, and no matter what we're talking about, if this is if this is of interest, you know, it's open line, and we go in that direction. So don't ever worry about changing subject.
Carl, Linda, thank you. Good morning.
Thank you.
Carl, Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
How much would you pay?
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott. KCNR 1460. Our phone line's here, 605-4567. Let's go to the phones.
Hello.
Yeah, Jim, you're on.
All right, buddy. Hey, I think this was a miracle that Brown won.
It is.
I mean, you know, and what I'm thinking about, or what about the other senators that sold out, that basically, you know, had their votes bought? How do they look now?
How does that make what the administration and Harry Reid and what they did
and the guy from Nebraska?
Yeah, how does it make them look? That's a perfect analogy there, because here's Nelson that sold his vote that the rest of us, and I think this is one of the reasons that that Brown won, is that the rest of us are having to pay for Medicaid for the state of Nebraska for forever.
Exactly.
According to that to that health plan, which is now in jeopardy.
And I'm sure that HELPA would have raised our, you know, our taxes, and would have cost, you know, individuals like me and you more money, because, you know, here me and my wife are, we're just about ready to pay our credit cards off, and now all that money we would have saved would have went to taxes for this.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was in Connecticut in October, and that is a blue state, and they were all sick of this administration also. I just thought it was really something, because I thought that they'd all be really Democratic out there, and or, you know, or Democrats. So I just wanted to throw that out there, and talk to you guys later.
Yeah, hey, we appreciate the phone call, Jim. Thanks a lot.
All right.
You know, what he said is exactly true. It's not Democrats, Republicans in many cases anymore, my friends.
It's just a loud flash to the world that people are fed up. And I mean, you would think it was just going to be a shoo-in to go Democratic in Massachusetts. I mean, this is Kennedy country.
Kennedy seat, even. And
yeah.
I think that, again, the people in the power there completely misunderstood what the people felt, just like the Republicans did back in the late, in 2000. That they thought, well, you know, we're in control of everything. Well, you're not. The people will take it for a certain length of time, and now their tempers are a lot shorter.
We just got this in. There's whiteout conditions on Buckhorn. I love it. You know, sometimes we get callers that call in and give us conditions. I think that probably makes it faster with the people right in the middle of it than sometimes it gets to, even though it's satellite, it's right there, people in the mix. So whiteout conditions at Buckhorn. And by the way, there is a high wind warning in case you're just tuning in. Effective till 6, the strongest winds are going to be between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Be very careful. Down power lines, branches, debris, flooding. You probably want to stay off the road around that time if you can. Also,
Indie Guy wrote to us via the internet that talking about what happened at the city council last night. We're going to be covering that later on today. But essentially, as we've been talking, that the city council wants to, they threw it out for a vote as appointing the city clerk and the treasurer as appointees, as opposed to having them elected as they have in the past. But we're going to talk more about that in the next half hour. We want to finish up this last one on this last part of the national, just a little bit more on the national side. Is, you know, there, I don't know if you've heard about it, but there were two SEALs that were arrested for allegedly punching, and that's what it was punching a Al-Qaeda terrorist suspect that they had captured. Not shooting him, not stabbing him, but one, he got punched in the head. And they've been brought up on charges. Well, the SEALs are going to Iraq to be for their trial, for the court-martial. And I find that just a little bit strange since, you know, the SEALs are going back to Iraq for trial, and terrorists that we have had in Guantanamo are going to New York. I just can't help but think that the conditions are just a little bit different on that. And where is that one going? Though I do hope that this court-martial, that they're taking everything into effect, that happened during this thing. But I just find it interesting that we're sending our people back to Iraq and we're bringing them to our country. Anyway, we're going to have to take a quick break here.
Hang on the phone, Bob. We'll be right back after this break.
And, Bob, bring us back after the break, and we've got Bob on the phone. This is Carl and Linda Bott. Free Fire Radio, KCNR. 1460 AM.
Hi, Joe Adams.
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. Every one of those days, you know, it kind of starts off okay, but then it's still going good, but then there's little things that happen, like, you know,
it could be the egg crates.
You know, you want to dampen the sound in the studio because, with the way the studio is, because just building it, you know, just with the paint and everything, it leaves a little bit of an echoing. So you find different ways of deadening the sound. So a lot of times you use a foam rubber, and that's what we have, you know, special type of foam rubber that we have on order. But last night somebody came in and said, hey, these, you know, people just used to do these all the time, and they pay lots of money. They're egg crates, you know, the cardboard carton egg crates. Well,
we have 100 egg crates right now on the wall. You can't see them.
We walked out and we said, no, we don't think we want to do that. Well, while we were gone last night, they put up about.
Yeah, the practical jokes are starting because there were two, also a dozen egg crates on each one of our seats taped. As well
means.
As you see the one hanging from the ceiling. It's like the dollar bill that you slap up there.
Yeah. So we have any number of egg crates that, thank goodness, nobody's going to see that.
So I think it's probably just somebody's moved your cheese a little bit, Carl, and you're just trying to get adjusted.
I just keep staring at those egg crates. I don't know if it's working. Hey, let's go to Bob real quick. Hey, Bob, good morning. You're on KCNR. Bob, how about now, Bob?
You're on the air.
No, Bob.
Bob? Okay, looks like we've lost Bob. Bob, call us back when you get a chance here. Well, let's go to our guest. And we have a number of guests today. You know, we were going to have Mr. Armelino from the superintendent of the Shasta County Schools. And he called us yesterday and had to cancel out because he's getting ready to leave town next week. And they had an emergency meeting. He had already called me, and we already set up what we were, you know, questions that I was interested in. You know, things on, you know, mainly statistics, so that you all can hear some statistics from our county. But we have able replacements for him at 8 o'clock. But our guest right now is a gentleman we met at Rotary, Robert Aubach.
Yeah. Hi, Carl. Hi. Good morning, Linda.
Good morning. And I was so pleasantly surprised to hear in your conversation, Carl was talking about, that you head up the Reading Lacrosse, that you coach.
I do. I'm a member of the Reading Youth Lacrosse Association. It's a we're in our fourth year. We started, this is our fourth season. We started about 3 years ago. And we are trying to bring the sport of lacrosse, and we have brought the sport of lacrosse, to Reading and the North State. It's a fantastic sport, and I'm not sure, some of the listeners may not be familiar with it, but it is a sport, it's a field sport, and it's kind of a combination of basketball, soccer, and hockey on the field. Lacrosse is played with a stick. Maybe some of you have seen around town some of our boys and girls walking around town with lacrosse sticks, and it looks like a long stick with a net on the end of it. And the object of the game is to throw and catch a hard rubber ball and put it into a goal. The goals are 6x6. And the great thing about the sport of lacrosse is that anyone can play, big or small, boys or girls. There are separate divisions for the boys, separate divisions for the girls. And what's great and what's very different about the sport of lacrosse is that it rewards coordination and agility and not brawn. I know there's a lot of misunderstandings about the sport because people see the players carrying a stick, and on the boys' side, they're fully equipped. They've got helmets, gloves, shoulder pads, not quite the size as football shoulder pads. And the assumption is that it's a really rough sport. But when lacrosse is played at its highest level, it is a game of technique and skill that requires a lot of coordination for throwing and passing the ball.
Lacrosse started, it's a game from the Native Americans.
Absolutely.
And that they would play for days. They would have a game where the goals could be miles apart, and they would be running, you know, they would be with the clubs and whatever they used as a ball there.
Yeah.
And they could play for days, and there's huge amounts. They'd be betting on things.
Right.
They did this instead of go to war.
That's right.
I understand.
That's absolutely right. Lacrosse was a Native American sport, and its origins were in upstate New York and southern Canada. The Iroquois nations are most identified. The six tribes of the Iroquois nations are most identified with the game of lacrosse. And what was so unique about it, it was used as a way of resolving conflicts. It was a game between villages, and it was a substitute for war, which is kind of an interesting concept if our world affairs were managed on the lacrosse field instead of the battlefield.
Well, now, don't be telling me that people aren't running, because I've seen lacrosse games before, and, you know, I've seen those clubs being used for more than just throwing that ball around.
Well, they're sticks. They're not clubs.
Okay, I'm sorry. Those sticks have been, you know, they use them a little bit like for, you know, blocking in there.
Well, you know, on the boys' side, on the boys' divisions, there definitely is physical contact, and we've got a couple of different divisions. The U11, which is a instructional division, and there's absolutely no physical contact. There's the U13 JV and varsity programs that we have here in Reading. And there is physical contact, but it's very controlled. The sticks can be used to check another stick. They can be checked to knock the ball out of the stick. And there is some physical contact as long as you are within 5 yards of a loose ball. You can't just go after and plow somebody down like you can in football.
If one didn't know anything about lacrosse or you call it lacrosse stick, mm-hmm. looked like, how would one go about discovering the sport?
Yeah.
Do you have any place to direct?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Reading Youth Lacrosse Association, our website is readinglacrosse.com. And we're in the middle of registration right now. Our season practice is starting at the end of January for most of the teams. The high school boys have already started. And the season runs from January through the end of April. And we play games, we've got a number of home games. In fact, we open our season, the varsity boys open their season February 28th here at the Reading Soccer Park against Orangevale. And I would recommend that if you just have some questions about the sport, come out to the soccer park Monday through Thursday, 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock, and watch the JV and varsity boys practice this month. Registration is wide open. Right now we've got a little over 100 players, both boys and girls, who are participating. Now, we've talked about the boys' side. The interesting thing is the girls' sport, girls' lacrosse, while they do use sticks, there is no physical contact in the girls' sport. And ironically, when the girls have to have a much higher degree of skill and technique with the sport because they can't really rely on the physicality like the boys can. And we kind of laugh because a couple of years ago when we were just starting the sport, we were struggling to have players come out, although we have full teams now. And sometimes we'd scrimmage the boys against the girls. And the boys, you know, they'd take the field and say, oh, great, we're going to beat these girls. And ironically, the stick skills of the girls were so higher because that's what their sport was really about. It was, I hate to say this, but it wasn't uncommon that the girls sometimes beat the boys, especially at the U13 level.
Well, they should because the girls are bigger and stronger than at 13 than a lot of the guys are.
Well, but it's all technique. It's all, you know, throwing and catching. And the techniques that we teach are throwing, catching, and cradling, position on the field. You know, again, a lot of the strategies are very similar to basketball and hockey, and that's one of the things that we are trying to not only teach to use the sport of lacrosse and teach the stick skills, but one of the things that's so special about the sport is the community of lacrosse players. You mentioned that its origins are in the Native American community, and there's a connectedness to the culture, and we talk about the spirit of the sport. And one of the things that we do here in Reading at the Reading Youth Lacrosse Association is we're trying to teach a couple of things. Obviously, the sport, but all of our coaches and all of our parents who are involved are required to go through a training that's called the Positive Coaching Alliance.
I love this.
The Positive Coaching Alliance is a very unique program. It's a national program, and it originated in Stanford. And the mission of the Positive Coaching Alliance is to transform youth sports so that sports can transform youth. It was created to create a culture of youth sports that give athletes kind of the opportunity for a positive and character-building experience. We talk about double goal coaching. We don't want to just be a win-at-all-cost program. The double goal coach wants to win, but the second and most important lesson is we try to use the sport to teach life lessons, which jives really, it connects with the sport of lacrosse. And, you know, one of the neat things, I played lacrosse back in New York where I grew up, and that's New York, Long Island, upstate New York, and Maryland are really were hotbeds of lacrosse back in the day because the roots were upstate New York. The sport has spread. Lacrosse is the fastest growing sport in the country. And one of the neat things we keep telling our players, you know, there are Division I, Division II, and Division III lacrosse programs, but there are 500 colleges that play club lacrosse. So if you are interested in the sport and you want to go to college, you don't have to wait for that scholarship. You don't have to be that one selected student who's got the great, you know, top 1% skills. If you're interested in the sport, there are programs throughout the country where you can play. And one of the neat things for us is we've only been here about 4 years. We've already graduated our first varsity players. We've got two players playing up at Southern Oregon University playing on their lacrosse program, and we're proud of them, and they're representing Reading well.
Got to take a break. Great subject, lacrosse. We're talking the sport, 605-4567. We're taking your calls. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Master.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM. It's not hard to talk and dance at the same time. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco Room Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. That rain and everything, you're going to need a little fortification, right? Well, you go to Tobacco Room Brew, go in there and ask for some of that coffee they have. We will fix anything you want. If you can think it up, they can make it.
Think it up.
And that's at Espresso Joe's. And, of course, then you've got the finest walk-in humidor. And anything you can possibly imagine, and tobacco accessories at Tobacco and Brew. You know, Tobacco and Brew is so much more than just a tobacco shop. Okay, let's go to the phones. Indy Guy, you're on KCNR 1460.
Morning, Carl and Linda.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what a great day for America, isn't it?
You know what? I love the fact that people had a say in the future of the United States.
I agree, and it's kind of funny. Kind of ironic, actually, that last night the city council, or DuVernay, is trying to get control of a couple of positions that are voted on, but yet over on the other side of the country, on a national level, the government's being told, we don't want your control.
Well, that's exactly right. You know, last night, of course, and we've been talking about it for a couple of days, about the city clerk and the treasurer being an elected official or an appointee. And what they've done is they said that the treasurer was not going to be voted on. That, I mean, they could still be, you know, allowed to be elected. But now the people are asked to vote whether the city clerk should remain an elected official or become an appointee. Why not just leave it the way it is?
That's the way I see it. This to me is just more of government. Everywhere from local all the way to D.C., the government is trying to get more and more control over the people and take our choices away.
Well, you know, here's the thing is they're saying, well, you know, it's becoming such a technical position that, you know, just having somebody elected into that job is
wrong. That right
there
irks me. That is Duverney telling the voters, you're too stupid to understand this.
Well, you know, here's what I believe, you know, and I can't help but agree with you on that one, Indy, but here's the thing. But also every facet of government is becoming much more technical. We still elect the city council, or do they want to have the city manager appoint the city council at some time? Because you know what? There are people running for city council. It may not be as competent as ones you can appoint, but at least it gives us, the people, a chance to have something to say about it. And,
right.
And even if they are running unopposed, at least we have that opportunity to say something if we wish.
Right. And also, as long as we get to vote the person in, we can vote the person out, too, if we are displeased with their service.
Yeah, this is no time to take away our right to vote, because I tell you, the people of Massachusetts sure made a big statement last night about big government.
Oh, I can't wait for November now.
Hey, you know, it's one of the things, too, Indy Guy, is that the city, from what I understand, is going to spend $35,000 to $40,000 on this election. And that Ms. Stiegel, Ms. MacArthur, and Mr. Bassetti are the ones that voted to do this. Dickinson and Jones said, we don't need to have another election. Leave it the way it is.
Yeah.
So how about this? How about when this thing goes down in defeat, and it will, because the people say, hey, we want a choice. We want to have that right to make that choice. Why don't we have the people that voted for that pay for that election?
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, so we just give the bill to the ones that voted for it, saying, hey, wait a minute, if you're going to throw that out there and we didn't want it, you pay for it.
Yeah, take it out of their city council pay or whatever.
Well, it's, you know, that would take 100 years to pay for it, but, you know, anyway.
Yeah.
Hey, I appreciate the phone call.
All right, talk to you later.
You bet.
Bye.
Robert Arbat from, did I pronounce it right?
You did.
A lacrosse player who is teaching lacrosse players how to play lacrosse.
Yeah, Reading Youth Lacrosse Association in Reading. And just wanted the listeners to know that you can reach us through readinglacrosse.com. We are registering for this season through the City of Reading Parks and Recreation. They've been huge supporters. Sue Roy over there has really done a great job over the years to kind of help support growing the sport. Like I mentioned, we've got over 100 kids playing. We're always looking for more players. We need more players. Both boys and girls. And I think the message that we want to put out is that lacrosse is a fast-growing sport. It requires a lot of athleticism, does not require a lot of brawn, and it is a game that is once you start playing and once the kids have the stick in their hand, they can't put it down. I was walking down Placer, driving down Placer a couple months ago, and I saw somebody on a skateboard riding down Placer with a lacrosse stick in their hand, and
he wasn't arrested by the police.
Yeah, well, I guess not. But all around town, I think the sport is catching on. We've got a program also in Red Bluff, so it's growing in the North State, and this is the time for registration. Parents, it's a new sport to the area, so we take great pains to kind of bring the parents into the sport. What we tell them is, listen, if you're interested in coaching, if you're interested in participating, don't worry. We've got people on the board and coaching who know the game. We can teach the sport to the parents. We're going to teach the sport to the kids. And it's a life sport. I was in Hawaii just a couple of weeks ago, and they're father and son on the beach throwing and catching the lacrosse stick. I mean, the sport's growing, and it's something that becomes part of your life.
Is there a way that somebody can walk in someplace and do a registration?
The City of Reading Parks and Recreation, right by the City Hall, or go right onto our website, readinglacrosse.com, and there's registration material right on the website. And you can give me a call, 247-1217. I'll be glad to answer any questions that you may have.
Thank you so much. It's great to be able to bring light to something that's so positive, and also how you're trying to educate the parents as well, because it is a family. They're going to have to drive to practice. It's just being involved in what the game is.
What the neat thing is that this is our fourth season, and we've already got a new generation of participants on our board. Parents who did not know about the sport, they decided to let their kids play a couple of years ago, and now the parents are hooked. And it's pretty exciting to see it growing in the North State.
Well, thank you, Robert. We hope that you call in every now and then, tell us what's happening, and we'd love to catch a game.
One more just plug. We are going to have the first college lacrosse game played in Reading on April 25th. Humboldt State University is playing University of Pacific. And, again, the colleges are recognizing that Reading is a place to come to play the sport. It's growing in this sport. And the coaches are talking about recruiting out of here. So if you've got kids who are looking to go to college, this might be a sport that might interest them.
Call us and remind us. We'd love that. Oh, we got to take a break right now. Thank you, Robert, for being our guest. And this is Carl and Linda Bott. This is KCNR 1460.
Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460, Shasta Redding. Carl on the bot, 605-4567 is our phone lines. Let's go to the phones. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, Carl, Linda. Hey, listen, morning. They're going to redraw all the congressional districts up this year by law. They're going to take it away from the judges, thank goodness. And they need volunteers out there to do this. I don't know what the exact vetting process is, but I'm sure you can't work for a congressman or probably even you can't be a lobbyist or any of the above, but they do need more volunteers. Evidently, the inactivity of people applying for this is really low up here in the North State.
Well, yeah, from what I understand, it's because it happens down in Sacramento that there's a lot of people from the Sacramento area and even Southern California get into it, but not a lot from the North State, and you're absolutely right. We need to get representation on that.
There is a site to go to if people want it. It is wedrawthelines.ca.gov.
We draw the line.
.ca. .gov.
Okay. Well, you know what? We're going to put that link up on our website, freefireradio.com. If you go to kcnr1460.com, you can get to our website.
That'll be good.
Free Fire Radio. We'll put that one up. And is there a phone number associated with that at all?
Once they get on there, I'm sure that they are. I went on just briefly yesterday. I'm going to go back on and check out. But it would be good. There's a possibility that they could change these districts on like checkerboards or rather than jigsaws, and maybe we can get some of these people out of there.
Well, you know, one of the things about when they gerrymander districts is they draw them just the way they want so they can get elected. You know, and, you know, from what I understand, Sam Honestead benefited from that one.
Absolutely. Went down a county road to pick him up. So.
Yeah. So that, you know, and so when you see things like that, that's why it looks like a wiggly snake in some of these areas. So they can keep a Democrat in or a Republican instead of let's try and make it as fair as possible. You know, that, of course, is a novel approach to politics, making it fair, making it so it's for the people and not just little political interest and people with money. I guess that's why I'm glad that.
And this is an opportunity to help a situation here. So have everybody give that out, if you would, and maybe somebody will want to volunteer up here that would be qualified.
Yeah, you know, I imagine it'll take some time, but you know what?
Yeah.
It could really be worth it. So appreciate
Absolutely.
That phone call, Bruce.
All right, thanks, Carl.
You bet. Well, you know, we've got our next guest coming in. Are to do a lot with our veterans, with our Northern California Veterans Museum, and also with people that need help. So then for our next people, Holly and Rob Burrows, that are coming in as our guest at 8 o'clock. We kicked Robert out of here, and I just grabbed him on our way back in just to ask another question. The expenses for this for people.
It costs $125 to register for the season, and that includes all the games, game jerseys. It does not include the equipment, which players have to purchase their own. There are a couple of stores around town. Played Against Sports has got really good prices on lacrosse equipment. But, you know, the $125, I know in this time it sounds like a lot, but relative to all the other programs and relative to the other sports, we're really trying to keep that price as low as possible. That covers all the playing fields. Coaches, it's all volunteer. All the money goes right back into the kids playing on the field.
That's great.
Yeah, that's. I did want to get the expenses out.
Sports are expensive today.
Well, they are. And, you know, the thing I like about lacrosse is I can't help but like contact games. I know they're not supposed to be contact games. But this one, lacrosse, as you get older, yes, you do bump. Yes, you bump and run. And, you know, let's face it, you've got a stick, you've got a helmet, and you've got shoulder pads. You know, there is going to be bumping out there. It is, and it teaches teamwork, passing it around. I'm all for contact sports and for our youth, and even especially for our women. And they get up, yes, you may have to, you know, you pass the ball back and forth. You're not supposed to have contact. But they are, they're going to be competing very hard in a physical sport. We need to have our youth trained in that.
The teamwork that's involved in the sport is just over the top. That's what it's all about.
Any sport like that, but I like lacrosse. We're going to come out and take a look at it. Sometime.
Great. Look forward to seeing you. Thanks so much.
All right. This is Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. This is KCNR, Shasta Redding. Now, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. Our website's KCNR 1460. And, Bob, tell us how the people can hear us streaming.
Right now, the stream is being hosted on livestream.com/Free Fire Radio. Video production services provided by Balaji Entertainment.
Thanks a lot, Bob. And you can send us emails that way, or send us an email via our regular way of Carl or Linda at KCNR1460.com. Our guest for this portion of our show, our second hour, we've got three people that have a lot to do with the veterans and veterans organizations here. We have Rob Burrows.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rob, who has, besides the Northern California Veterans Heritage Museum, also plays a big part in our Veteran of the Year for the North State. Also plays a large part in rendering honors to our veterans who were laid to rest out at IGO and another funerals. So welcome aboard there.
Good morning. Thank you.
Also, we have Holly Donahue and Bruce Preston, who are family services counselors at McDonald's in Longcrest. And the reason we're coming in today for Holly and Bruce is we've been hearing some stories about burials and things that have gone on for internments that veterans that have fallen on veterans' shoulders are the survivors of veterans to pay for. And indeed, they don't know the types of benefits available to the veterans. Is this correct, Holly?
Yes, there's actually a lot of misconceptions with regard to the veterans and what they are able to attain through the VA and what their benefits actually are. And it actually can be quite tragic for a lot of the families who come in because they're expecting everything to be paid for. They have really no idea what their actual benefits are because the descriptions that they've been given have been so broad over the years that they don't realize that, in fact, none of their actual burial benefits are paid for. It's primarily cemetery. Bruce Preston is my senior family service counselor for my two departments, and he works with the families on a day-in and day-out basis. And I will let Bruce speak to you about some of the day-to-day issues that we have, and then I will follow up with some of the programs that we have available to the veterans and to the veteran organizations.
Okay. Bruce?
Good morning. Our main objective is to make sure a lot of folks, when they come in, sometimes when a death has occurred or other times when they're just wanting to get information, is to clarify and help them understand where our role comes in to assist them with their benefits. In fact, we have put together our company has put together a number of materials that assist in those that information, which includes a special planning guide, which includes all the forms necessary to claim benefits, and how we'd like to get those to any veteran out there that would like one. All they have to do is call us, and we'll be sure that they get one. We give them information about basically the 10 facts that they need to know about their burial benefits. And we do also assist with you know, helping folks get the information necessary for the Northern California Veterans Cemetery. But as you know, since the cemetery's only been open a few years, we have hundreds and hundreds of veterans at our parks, which is Redding Memorial Park and Longcrest Memorial Park, along with the surrounding cemeteries. And we want to make sure that they're entitled to the benefits that they deserve. We also go out and speak to a lot of veterans organizations. We have special affinity relationships with the Veterans of Foreign Wars, the American Legion. We spoke to the submariners in town, the Pearl Harbor survivors, and I can go on. The disabled American veterans. We have a public servants program. So it's just, so there are benefits that we also pass along to any public servant if they're killed in the line of duty.
But, well, you know, Bruce, you know, I'm holding this, and of course y'all can't see this, but it's a very, it looks like a very concise guideline. It says Veterans Planning Guide. And where can people get this that are interested in it? And it covers, gosh, it covers, you know, the funeral honors, the plannings, the veterans, different veterans organizations, how you do it, the and everything that you would possibly need, including Department of Veterans Affairs.
Yes, sir. In
for
fact,
planning.
Yes. And basically, all they have to do is contact one of our facilities, which would be McDonald's Chapel or Longcrest Chapel.
And ask to speak to a family services counselor.
And
okay. We'd be happy to answer those questions and get that information to them.
Okay. Hey, look, we're going to have to take a break here. And we come back, we've got a similar Jim Nielsen has called in, and we'll get to Jim as soon as we come back from this break. Carl Lindebot, KCNR 1460, Free Fire Radio.
Do you own a small business?
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio with Carl and Linda Bott, KCNR 1460. The weather today is going to be bad. Rainy, stormy. We had reported a whiteout conditions on Buckhorn. We have wind advisories and wind warnings of up to 60-mile-an-hour gust throughout the day. So if you've got that little high-topped rig that you want to drive around, you may want to leave it parked today and sit at home and just listen to KCNR 1460 all day. We got a great lineup. Hey, let's go to the phones here. Assemblyman Nielsen, are you staying dry?
Well, I got a little wet at the house. I had to tend to a little flood problem, but a shovel and a towel took care of all of that. Shovel the water and the towel the water on me.
Well, you sound like it sounds like you're talking through water, a little bit of water right now.
Well, I sure am. I'm on the way up to meet with the Board of Realtors here in Redding. I just wanted to chat with you a little bit maybe about the tsunami back in Massachusetts and how that applies, I think, to California.
You know, we've been talking about that this morning and that how the people spoke and said, you know, we do not like the direction that the government is going. So what? How do you think that's going to affect us out here, Jim?
Well, I liken it, Carl, to the Proposition 13, when I was elected 30 years ago as a Prop 13 baby, that sent a resonating message across the country that lives on today. However, every year since Prop 13, there have been forces at play that want to undo it. But right this very year and last year, in the budget negotiations that I'm in the middle of, there's going to be all kinds of pushes for more taxes, like a split roll, which would tax business differently, to remove the benefits of Prop 13 for business. So that's far away. I hope that message and the Tea Party rebellion that's all across the nation now, which will be emboldened by this, just as the Prop 13 movement was then, 30 years ago, I think that this is a very good thing, and it will be very helpful to us in the budget. Those of us who do not want to try to get out of this budget simply by raising taxes, which will do nothing but fix what's broken. They're not fixed, but it won't fix anything. It will simply fund it. So I think that message is very profound, and I think it's going to turn government around in the United States and will have its impact on our budget negotiations right now in California.
Well, you know, Jim, I hope so, because, you know, it's just not getting any better. I don't see it getting any better. I don't see the, you know, We're still having things cut off. We're still losing money. You know, it's not like it's a slow, steady drip. It's like what the Sacramento looks like right now, a flood that's going past Redding here. You know, 20% plus unemployment, and still we can't seem to get Sacramento off their collective, you know, butts to do something about it?
Well, it was a good step last year with $30 billion cut out of the budget. I mean, that's unheard of. I mean, some of the budgets I was a part of in the Senate were $30 billion, the whole budget. In the first 7 months of last year, $30 billion was cut back. The Integrated Waste Management Board was collapsed. So there's been a little bit of resolve there to do a few things. A shifting of categorical educational programs to more local authority and responsibility. So a number of things have happened, frankly, driven by, of course, the economy and the tough budget situation. But those are wonderful opportunities as I see them, and it's a great time to really get control of our government.
What do you think about the, you know, we were just talking about the redrawing of districts, and they're looking for volunteers to be to sign up to redraw the California electoral districts. What do you think of that?
Well, the fairest redistrictings have been those done not by the legislature, but by the court. One affected this area up here, the district I represented years ago in the 80s. It was done by the courts, and it made a much more homogeneous district. And so I think it would be more fair in the process now, the citizens group that will be paneled to come up with the lines. The Republicans or Democrats ought not think, oh boy, this is really going to advantage either one. On the other hand, I think there's a good likelihood that it will be a more fair process. Therefore, there will be more competitive districts and therefore more accountable legislators.
Well, that's what I believe. You know, it's the fact is that we've had in the past that politicians redraw these. That, you know, I realize that how can you avoid having, you know, partisanship in the redrawing of the districts with the citizens panel? But I would hope that there'd be enough checks and balances on it so that we would have, you know, districts that reflect the people and not something that looks like a snake traveling the river so we can keep, you know, one party or another party in.
Well, I tell you, I'm looking forward to it. Having been a member of the minority party, I've now represented them through three redistrictings, or maybe what you'd call two and a half redistrictings, and that I've ended up having 16 different counties that I've represented through those redistrictings. And in one of them, the redistricting ended up, there was no district for me to represent. In another one, there was a redistricting where my home was put in another member's district, and his was put in mine by the majority party. So I've got to look at this as being at least a chance of being more fair.
Yeah. Hey, Jim, we're getting emails from people, you know, as we're streaming. We just had a question. How likely is it that California will go bankrupt?
I don't think that's a high probability at all. I think there's little to no chance of that. There is a resolve to get this budget under control and not let that happen. So I feel confident there'll be no bankruptcy in the state of California. That just cannot happen. There is, you know, talking to the members, as difficult as it is with the differences in the parties and the philosophy, I don't think anybody is going to let this state go bankrupt.
I hope not. You know, I was listening to Schwarzenegger the other day, and he said, you know, it's in one way it's kind of funny, but in another way it's almost sad. And he's talking about how people should not have the health plan, you know, jammed down their throats. And he said, and he talked about, you know, California is paying more than it's getting back from the government. And then he said, why can't we get the same deal that Nebraska got? For some reason, that just offended me. That why can't we get the same deal that Nebraska got?
No, let's get our port, too. Give us our port. I don't want our port. Let's just give us what they owe us, not the port.
Yeah.
What they owe us. And for example, for the paying for the incarceration of those foreign-born felons who are incarcerated in our prisons that I dealt with for all those years in the Court of Prison Service.
Well, you're talking about for being reimbursed for the number of illegals we have here. Is that correct?
Yes, in prison.
Yeah.
That's about 10% of the prison population are foreign-born and illegal.
Yeah. Okay. Hey, Jim, we have to take a quick break here. Can you stay with us, or are we going to lose you through this?
I better rush because I'm going to meet with the Board of Realtors here in Reading.
Okay.
Carl, but I just wanted to emphasize, I think that Massachusetts is going to be another Prop 13, and it gives us a chance to stop the split roll and other things like that that we're fighting right now.
Well, you know, stay in touch with us, Jim. We always appreciate your phone calls, letting us know what's going on down there and that sometimes a morass down in Sacramento.
Yes, to morass indeed. But there's hope.
There's hope. There's always hope. All right, thanks a lot. This is Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Join us after these messages.
You can save your business.
And you're listening to Carl and Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460 AM. It looks like the, the weather conditions are still going, 60-mile-an-hour winds. Going to be rainy all day, and this is going to be a tough weather system coming in today. We're going to get hit again tomorrow, but not as much. The weather is brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards, your place of choice to go. You know, what a great place. We've enjoyed it ever since the first time we went there. They're having a great Valentine's Day party out there, and we'll give some more information about that. We're talking about services for our veterans, and we're talking about during the break we talked about a lot of things going on, other services that you provide for our veteran community here, and one was for homeless veterans.
That's correct. We have a new homeless veterans program whereby we've been taking care of these veterans and these people that have been just basically forgotten about. There was a big project that was started down in L.A. County. Our company has over 1,600 affiliates nationwide. I think somewhere close to 2,000 we have. And they all, if you see a company bearing the Dignity logo, that's one of our companies and one of our affiliates. And we have... We've been taking care of these vets and finding, with a dignified and honorable burial, military honors. I have more information that I can give to anyone. We conduct seminars on grief management support, all the various veteran programs, discounts, special discounts that we give specifically through our company for veterans, both in advance of need as well as at the time of need. We also have a new vets website that is coming out. It was just announced yesterday that caters specific to veterans in each of the various areas and so forth. And we have a care line for veterans as well. Now, this care line, we also offer one to families that are non-veteran. It's for someone who's experienced a loss and they just need someone to talk. It's 24 hours. It's free of charge. There's no cost at all. We pay for that through the community. But the veterans one that we have, the specific veterans number, is for people, say, for example, who have just experienced a difficult time and have served a tour and have just come back and have lost buddies and things like that, that they just need a friend and they just need to talk to and so forth. And that is 24-hour a day care.
Is this in conjunction with the Veterans Administration?
No, it's through our company.
Okay. And the people that you have answering this are... psychologists or
yes, they would be. They're qualified counselors. They're certified counselors.
Degree
professionals.
Okay.
And we also have an accidental death program, which I will allow Bruce to talk about as well at this time.
This program actually applies to anybody in the community. That it's been going on for a long time. The problem is we're finding out with folks that they don't know about it till after the fact, and we're trying to get the word out as much as possible. We hope something doesn't happen. But a lot of times people pass away because of an accidental death. No matter what your age, our providers here locally will provide any service complimentary to any family that dies of an accidental death. That means things like a memorial service, a visitation, things like that. The cremation at a substantially lower price than what we normally would charge. If a person under age 18 dies for any reason, all our services are complimentary.
Let's get back to the veterans here.
Okay.
For the, you told me that down in L.A. that you've had that you all perform services for unclaimed veterans. Is that correct?
We provide it anywhere in the United States, but the first big contract that we had picked up was down in Los Angeles County. I actually flew down with one of our corporate overseers for the program and had sat in at the VA office down there in L.A., and there was something to the vicinity of 300 unclaimed veterans, and there was one little mortuary that was trying to take care as much as they could. There was just a mom and pop operation trying to do the best they could to help out, but there was no one there to really assist these people, and our company has come in and they're working with the VA down there to make sure that all these veterans have an honorable burial, body preparation services, everything.
Now, these are unclaimed veterans, is that correct?
Homeless and indigent.
We need to get you together with Fred Salante from Missing in America Project, which is it's a nationwide group that provide honors to these veterans. I mean, you all are taking care of the preparation of the remains. What they do is they will take that from the mortuary to the appropriate burial site and provide military honors for our veterans, as long as they are truly veterans in this and in the veterans' families in some cases. So we need to get you with the MIAP people. We're going to have to take a quick break here. This is Carl Lindebaum on Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Only.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here with Carl Lindebaum on KCNR 1460. Phone lines here are 605-4567. Okay, Holly Donahue and Bruce Preston from McDonald's Longcrest and the Family Service Center people, and they're talking about the number of the things they have for veterans, because they're finding out that so many of our veterans don't really understand what their rights are, what their benefits they have. And so you can get a veterans planning guide from them, and they just have to stop by and get that. Is that correct, Holly?
That is correct. Just stop in and ask for any of our family service counselors on duty.
And that you also are taking care of those unclaimed veterans by taking care of their remains. And in some cases, they were just stored in refrigerators.
That would be correct. And we not only take care of the remains, but we also provide honorable burial services and work with the veterans organizations to do that.
Okay. You know what? This is a fine thing that you all are doing.
Thank
for
you
our
very
veterans.
Much.
It really is. And we will get you in touch with the right people from the Missing in America Project this is what they do. And we have a symbiotic relationship here where you all are doing that, taking care of the remains, and then the other organizations, the veterans organizations, then burying them. So thank you very much. And
thank you for having us.
So McDonald and Longcrest, is there a phone number they can go to?
Yes, 241-1168. You can ask for myself, Holly Donahue, or Bruce Preston. We can get you more information, as well as free seminars and information that we provide to the various veteran organizations if you would like. There's a ton of information that we certainly wouldn't have the time to cover this morning, but there's so much that we could provide for you that so many people don't know about.
We'll put a link on our Free Fire Radio website, so for veterans, so they can go to this. And also we'll talk to couple of the veterans organizations here, so make contact. All right. Well, thank you so much for what you're doing. We really appreciate
thank
that
you.
For our veterans.
Thank you.
My next guest is somebody I've known for a few years. We served together in Fallujah, though I didn't have the honor of knowing Master Chief then. He's running around on the roads. He's probably taking different roads than I was. You're probably taking the high road, and I was on the low road.
No, I was on the low road, rubber to the road, all across Iraq.
It's Rob Burrows. How you doing, Rob?
Good morning, and thanks for the promotion, but I'm a senior chief.
Yeah, you always be a master chief. Yeah, you always be the man. Okay. Hey, Rob Burrows is the Northern State Veteran of the Year, North State Veteran of the Year. Is that correct, for last year?
Or yes.
For 2009. And he had a little idea to start something called the Northern California Veterans Heritage Museum, which is getting ready to open here soon, isn't it?
We are. In fact, we're going to be opening in a small scale within this year, 2010. We've been working with the city of Shasta Lake and with the Toyon-Wintu Indian Organization, and we'll be going into a co-located museum there in Shasta Lake City. They received a cultural resource grant. And the first part of our museum will be going in and sharing the military history and the participation of our Native Americans in our military history. And we'll be highlighting our local veterans who have served in our community and in the different branches that were Wintu Indians. And so this is a great opportunity for us to be able to highlight and share those stories of our Native Americans who served our country. And this will allow us to get the doors open and get our program going so that we can go ahead and move forward to our larger location that we're planning for.
That's great. Now, when's this going to happen?
Well, right now, we're scheduled to open November of 2010, so we're less than 12 months out.
Is there maybe a small glitch in this?
As
Rob Burrows is an older gentleman here. I mean,
I'm not that old.
The gray hair, he's got sons in combat, and it seems like the Navy thinks so much of you, they want you some more.
Correct. I just received orders for March 25th for a third tour to Afghanistan.
Well, you know what? You've been to Iraq twice. At least, we're spreading the wealth here.
We're done in. We succeeded in Iraq.
Absolutely. We won.
We succeeded. We turned it back over to the country, and we have minimal forces there. And I would like to think, and in fact, I know that a large portion of what we did on the ground when we were there in 06 and 07 helped to turn the tide right there at the surge motion so that we could turn that back to the Iraqis and we could step out of there. And I know that with what we did and working with the people and the country and being able to build the infrastructure in Iraq, that we were very successful boots on the ground.
The only way, and I remember from all the times I was there that every time a congressional delegation came through and they said, what do you need? What do you need? And the same thing was said every time. Give us more men and women. Give us more boots on the ground. And when they finally did that.
That made a difference.
That made the difference. And then the Iraqis realized that we were there. We were there to help, and they turned to our side as opposed to either being neutral or supporting al-Qaeda.
Well, prior to the surge, we were experiencing 14 to 20 IEDs on the road every single night. I mean, it was just horrendous. And after the surge came in and they began to patrol the roads and take out and eliminate the threat that was out there and to show the force, by the time we left in 07, they were only seeing, our convoy, that was just our convoy. Our convoy was seeing one or two IEDs a night or zero. There's many nights towards April, March and April, that we didn't see any IEDs
at all.
So
you just slipped through the whole ride, huh?
Yeah, right. No, it didn't work that way.
Well, that's the same thing that's happening in Afghanistan. You know, we're starting to surge in there. And the only way you're going to win is to provide security for the people. And we own any place we're at. It's when we leave that they come out. Because the Taliban and al-Qaeda learned their lessons early that if they come up on a straight-up fight with us, that they're not going to win. So they just don't fight us like that. They fight us with IEDs. They wait till we go because it's very difficult to tell the good guys from the bad guys. And, of course, that's kind of tough sometimes back here, too.
Sometimes.
So you're heading back to you're going to head back to Afghanistan. Is this for certain now?
Well, there's still we're still in the process of the paperwork and some medical issues that I'm looking at and dealing with. And the battalion wants me to go, and I have mixed feelings about going on a third tour. We're just getting ready. I'm just so involved in our community with doing honors and services out at the Igo Cemetery and then putting forward this entire museum program to honor our local veterans. You know, the biggest part about the museum and getting this together is it honors our veterans that are alive. It honors our veterans that are here right now, and it helps to tell the story of their sacrifice. People don't hear about the books. Our history books, our schools don't teach that, and our media doesn't teach that. And so we're taking it upon ourselves to be able to promote a program that tells a black and white story of the service and sacrifice of our men and women who have served this country. And so we have the Igo Cemetery that honors our past, our veterans who have fallen. And then also we're going to be having the Veterans Home going out at the near the Reading Airport that's going to honor our older veterans. But the museum is to honor the stories of the veterans that are still alive. We can bring the veterans in as docents, and they can talk with the kids, and they can talk with our visitors, and they can share their stories. And so people will have a firsthand knowledge to be able to understand what took place. And that also honors our veterans, that they can help share their experiences and tell their stories. And everything we hear so often is so biased and twisted by the media that this is our opportunity to get the truth out. It's an opportunity for the veterans to tell it like it was without any twist of a media or political venue.
That's great. Hey, we're going to take a quick break here. It's Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Tobacco and Brew is...
Welcome back. This is Carl and the Bot here on Free Fire Radio. You're listening to KCNR 1460. Hey, Valentine's Day is coming up. Our guest today is Rob Burrows, but, you know, I'm going to just say, hey, Rob, you know you can walk into Kubler's and you can fill out a form and win a fabulous love seat. Yeah. All you have to do is go to our website. You can go to KCNR1460.com and fill out, you know, see the little sweetheart, the heart, and it's, Carl and I are sitting there on this phenomenal love seat, this very plush, little chocolate-colored love seat. And we just love local businesses. So Kubler's has decided for Valentine's Day that they would do a special promotion or go in this weekend to fill it out, and you guys could have a good time sitting next to each other on that couch and thinking, just visualizing that you're going to win that, because we know that after your water damage, you're going to need some furniture.
Well, yes, absolutely. I'll have to swing by and do that.
Well, tell us about the Boondocker ball.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh. With that idea and thought, I mean, hold that. I can just see Rob taking the love seat to Afghanistan and winning the hearts and minds of the Taliban.
Yeah, the only love seat over there. Why
just
wouldn't?
Just sit there with the man, with the Taliban in a man dress next to you on the, on the love seat.
Well, by the way, we're going to do the drawing on the 12th, so we need to get some names, lots of names and lots of people going there and checking that out. And trust me, you're going to love this. If who knows? But just go check out the. You're going to need a new couch and a new love seat.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
so
we
go check it out.
We've had a number of entries coming into our website. So we've had and plus people going down, of course, to Kubler's.
All right. Okay. So let's talk about. We've got calls coming in too because you are the man in demand. Tell us about the Boondocker Ball.
Well, the Boondocker Ball is our annual event that's coming up. This will be our second annual event for the museum. It's a fundraiser. And what's so important about the ball this year is all the funds are going to be going directly to the grand opening of the museum. And so we're really looking to get as much support as we can so we can get this taken care of. Our Boondocker Ball is going to be March 27th, and it's a 40-style USO dinner dance. We're going to have a 40-style costume contest and a 40-style dance contest also. And so we're really looking to get the community in the mood and get them in the festive activities. It's a great opportunity for people to be able to come and just enjoy a great era of music, time, dinner, and to be able to support a fantastic cause, because the museum isn't just about veterans. It's about educating all of our youth in our community, the North State. And so this helps out the entire North State area, our veterans, helping to keep their heritage and their stories alive, helping to teach our children about their heritage and about the veterans, our local heroes in our community who have served and live among us every day that we don't even know about. And we're going to be able to highlight, spotlight those stories.
That is so great. We went last year, and let me tell you, people danced up a storm. They wore costumes. We really felt the era. What are you doing Friday night?
I don't know yet.
Put you on the spot.
What's going on Friday?
Well, Carl and I are guest bartending at Maritime.
Okay.
So come by and hear a great jazz trio, and I think we might be doing some generous pours.
Well, I think that Rob comes in and gets his usual beer and a shot of tequila. Hey, let's go to the phones here. Randall, good morning.
Good morning, Chief.
Hey, how you doing, Randall?
And Mrs. Chief.
Hey.
Hey, I was streaming. I left a message last night on your office phone, but ignore that now.
No, I
was streaming.
I got it.
Huh?
I got it.
Oh, great. I was streaming a KSFO last night, the 50,000-watt blowtorch out of the belly of the beast in there, which I call Sodom. Anyway, the people were chiming in about Barbara Boxer, and they are gunning for her. I think we need to make our focal point on her. Her numbers are low, and she is flat out killing us. We have no representation, so those people down there, and I know them well, and I'm not one of them.
In the Bay Area.
Yeah, but I heard it from San Jose, Tracy, all around. I chimed in to Brian. It was Brian Sussman's show last night. I've known him for 20 years. He used to be a weatherman on KPIX, Channel 5. She's vulnerable. Let's go get her.
Well, I think that after what happened, what happened in Massachusetts, you have to ask yourself: is Barbara Boxer really representing us?
No.
Is this woman who
Sambla.
Well, that's it. And her infinite wisdom. She also she denigrates an American Army general because he calls her ma'am. That right there shows where she has lost it.
I hit the ceiling, and I'm not a veteran. But
you felt the disrespect.
Let me tell you what I've brushed up a few with their hand techniques here and there, along with some federal agents and some friends of mine on the police force. So these people, they control us.
Well, see, that's it.
We're going to get 40 foot of water, which we could sell them.
Well, you know what? Shasta
Speaking
Lake,
of which,
yeah, Shasta Lake has come up 20 feet
we have some great
in the
stats.
Month of January.
Hey, Randall, check out these stats. Listen to this, Bob.
My bride sent me some information. Shasta Lake has come up 20 feet during the month of January. 24 hours on January 19th, 5 feet increase in the lake. That is a gain of 87,344 acre feet. 1 acre foot is 325, about 326,000 gallons. You hit the calculator, that is, get ready for the number, 28,455,519,000 gallons in 24 hours flowing into Shasta Lake. That could supply the water needs of half the country for a day.
Well, but you know what?
Buggles the mind.
You know what, though? I did not pay Carl for that segue. I swear I did not.
But you know what? You know what? You know what? The only number I'm really interested in is whatever Barbara Boxer gets in his next election, her opponent has 10 votes more.
Hey, Carl, I used to look across the headlands at, you know, from Richmond up there up on the hill, looking down where they built the ships. I could see the shipyards. Uh-huh. And I would go over there, and it's gorgeous, but. Man, I'll tell you what, I told them, the people in the Bay Area they have a visceral reaction, they were paying attention, and I told them that we are also paying attention to them down there because we referenced our program, because there's a lot of people up here who listen to that program down there. And they go down to the Bay Area a lot, and I believe we can take her down.
I think we can.
Let's do it.
But we have to get it organized, and we actually have to really want to. That's it.
And who's going to be the person? Stand up. Do it.
I think there'll be a lot of people. It won't be just one person.
I think everybody's had enough. And I think Massachusetts with the skyrocket that told everybody that if they can do it in Massachusetts, we can do it in California.
Absolutely. Scott heard around the world.
Yeah. Hey, Randall, thanks a lot. We got to take
Bye-bye.
A break. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460.
How much would you pay for a dinner consisting of a 6-ounce lean?
Well, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 605-4567. Phone line's been pretty filled up today. This show has been brought to you partially by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Go in there today, get that Espresso Joe special to get you going, protect you from all this rain. It may not protect you, but it'll make you feel all warm and cuddly inside. And then stop on over and get that favorite cigar out of that humidor. I have certain ones that are my favorites. I don't know if I can even mention them by name, but maybe later on I will. But Joe and Shelley support this community. They do a lot for our veterans. They do a lot for our community. Tobacco and Brew, so much more than just a tobacco shop.
And our guest today in the studio, and we're about ready to say goodbye, farewell, avete Zane.
Arrivederci.
Rob Burrows.
Good morning again.
Hey. You know, it's always great to see you. You're looking great. We've had your son on, who returned from, was it Afghanistan or Iraq?
Iraq.
Okay. Iraq. You must be very proud.
Very proud of him.
You've got great boys. So closing thoughts. Tell us what's going on.
Well, basically, you know, we're moving forward with this museum. And so that's a fantastic opportunity here in the community. You know, we've only been working on this for 2 years. And we have come leaps and bounds in 2 years to where we're at right now. Many organizations try to start a process like this, and it takes them decades. And so we've just been very proactive. We have a very good support in the community, and we really appreciate the community members that support us, the local veterans who support us, the city of Shasta Lake, and the Wintutoyan Indian Nation for giving us the opportunity to share with them in this opportunity to tell not only the Indian story, but to tell the military story that the Indians have participated in. And I myself am a registered Wintu Indian, and so this is telling part of my heritage in our local community and also my service and support for our country also. And a lot of people don't know that the American Indians have always been a very high populace in supporting our American military. And the reason is because of the warrior attitude to warrior concept. And so it's a matter of being respectable and honorable, even though that there's been a lot of different atrocities through the nation and the country toward our Indians.
the Indians have stepped up and they have fulfilled that part of being honorable in serving the United States.
I had no idea that you were a registered Wintoom.
Yes.
That just fascinates me. How does one go about becoming a registered of their tribe?
Well, there has to be a bloodline. And there has to be a traceable bloodline. And then there are, I was enrolled when I was just a baby. My mother enrolled my brothers and sisters and I because she wanted us to have part of that as our heritage. And they're from, Redding and from Trinity County. And so our bloodline goes all the way back to Shasta and Trinity County. And so this is doubly my way to help support our community and also share about our local veterans in our community.
Oh, that's fascinating. Tell our listeners again where they can go if they want to contribute dollars and support the upcoming museum.
They can go to our website, which is NorthernCaliforniaVeteransMuseum.org. And so that's they can go directly there and see the information, get the information there. Or they can also call our office, which is 223-9327. And they can talk with me, and we can give them some information about what we're doing and different areas that we're trying to promote and put the money toward, the opening up a museum. There's a lot of different funds. And so even if people don't have financial support, they can donate other, either volunteer or if they have monetary items, not a monetary, but physical items, we're still looking for a lot of different things to help get us going. And building materials and graphics, bookcases, things along that, like that, starting a new organization. And so, just any support, they can call us and we can let them know which direction. And constantly we're looking for veterans' items. We're looking for items that veterans have had, whether it be uniforms or bayonets or swords or documents, flags, things along that line. And it's not so much the items, but we want a storyline, a biography with each one of those items so that when we have that on display, we can share the story of that individual, where they served, what they did. And it's about the story. The item helps tell the story, but it's about the story of the individual. That's what this is all about, is the veteran story.
Well, we have the Northern California Veterans Heritage Museum website on our website, freefireradio.com, and they can go and link to it that way. Of course, they can call you, as you said. But it's such a worthy cause that Rob Burrows, who's taken us on, and he took this on as mano a mano, you might say. He doesn't have big corporations there because he wants to keep control for our North State there.
Thank you for being our guest.
Thank you for the opportunity.
And we'll stay in touch with you because of your possible deployment. Because next year when we do our Christmas for the troops, we'd like to have you here instead of sending stuff to you.
Absolutely.
And tomorrow we are going to be covering a lot of interesting things that are happening around town. And, of course, we're going to be talking more about what's happening on the political scene and more about city council.
Yeah, the Olney Creek. I was there last night and listened to this, and there are 600 families that are being affected by a levy. And that the question is, who owns the levy? Is it the city? Or are these people going to be caught in a FEMA floodplain, which could be a very expensive project for them? We also have a new show that we're going to be introducing tomorrow for the Saturday. They'll be here. It's an interesting show and two really interesting guys. Yeah, this is Carl Lindabott, Free Fire Radio. This is KCNR.